Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode.
Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby, and today I'm joined by Lorena, who is the SVP of Marketing at Fran Connect. Lorena, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Mason. Thank you for having me. I know this podcast is super insightful, so hopefully I can give some good wisdom here as well.
I am 98% confident this is going to be one of our best episodes, simply because as we look at Fran Connect and what you guys do, again, you're working specifically with franchisees and directly helping them run everything about their business. So I'm excited because you do such a vertical specific type program that's such a good fit for ABM. And specifically, you were brought in as a strategic hire to help stand up a new go-to-market. So I'm excited to dig into really how you actually set the foundation for a new way of doing marketing and going to market. So can we just start with, how did you actually figure out who you wanted to go after for this program?
Yeah, just starting off when I joined Fran Connect, as you mentioned, they were super focused on the franchise industry, but over time, we've also expanded that reach out into multi-locations. So thinking of retail organizations, brands that have multiple locations spread out globally. And so thinking about that, we really had to be thoughtful in how we take the approach of go-to-market, account-based marketing, et cetera. So the first thing that I think is a fundamental that a lot of marketers actually bypass is understanding the customer, understanding your market, like what actually keeps them up at night and how can you help support and alleviate some of their pain points. A lot of times when someone comes on board to a new company, they go through new hire training, they get the messaging, but they don't actually really internalize it. So what the first thing we did is I made sure that, first of all, with my team and myself, after new hire, like we actually did a customer perspective exercise. And that's basically locking yourself in the room, pretending that you are that actual brand and like thinking about what are the challenges that you're facing? If you were them, what is keeping you up at night? And then thinking about what are all the roadblocks? What are the things that you need to help accomplish your end goal? And also understanding that end goal. So I think that's super fundamental because a lot of times I see marketers go out and they just start producing tactical things that, yeah, is aligned with messaging, but they don't really get to the heart of what is going to make your customer really pay attention. So I think that's the first thing is really understanding your customer. You never want to go for everyone. You know, sometimes we as marketers think, let's spray and pray. Let's go and reach out to every single franchise brand because they need us. We really have to be thoughtful. You really have to think about what are some of the triggers that is causing the market to say, hey, we need a solution like Fran Connect's platform. What's out there? And so I think you really have to understand, you know, how you're going to support and what are some of the key drivers there? And then understand, like, what does that look like? What are those brands that have these triggers? I will tell you on the franchise side, franchising is the cornerstone of entrepreneurship and it's a huge growth engine for the economy. And so we want to make sure that a franchise is growing. And a big indicator is a brand looking to expand? A lot of this information is public. We follow all of these franchise brands and say, are there franchise brands that are out there that have a huge growth, you know, trajectory, a growth plan? And that's one of the triggers that we actually take in and say, okay, these handful of brands, they want to grow. They have a huge growth plan. They would be a great partner in that space. And so that's really kind of a fundamental thing is, you know, understanding your customer and not spray and pray out in the market, being really thoughtful at who you're reaching out to as it aligns to their strategy and how you fit in.
I love the call out of, again, you're working with some really large organizations mm-hmm. and they will actually say in very publicly accessible documentation, these are our goals. These are our objectives. These are the things we're trying to figure out this year. And I'm thinking back on, I was watching a video like just this morning, like the Tesla's earning call, their revenue or their profit. I can't remember offhand if it's revenue or profit, but they're down by 71%. Like not gracious. So if you're going to break into an organization and you can actually specifically cite things that they are saying about themselves as challenges, exponentially greater likelihood that they're actually going to respond. So I'm curious, because some people that I'm talking with that are great sellers that have been doing it for a while, they're like, yeah, so like I read the earnings reports and I actually wait for those things to come out. And I actually read every single word and I listen back to the earnings calls and like specifically cite and reference things, which highly effective. Also a lot of manual desk research. So I'm just curious, like for you guys, how are you actually starting to operationalize finding those triggers within these accounts?
In my team, I have campaign managers, heads of campaign. They're tied to specific segments within our sales team. And so we have dedicated campaign managers to each of the sales reps. And so first you got to create that alignment there. And again, they also sales also has to believe in the mission and how we can support. So it's not just marketing, it's marketing and sales. And then from that point, we create a playbook to essentially say, okay, we want to be the brand's partner, not just a vendor. And so really, we want to create that experience where, again, we're helping them. So I think, again, it's very fundamental to have that in the back of your head. Then we create our playbook. We usually, again, look at, you know, various triggers. You know, at the end of the day, we know every single franchise brand out there or multi-location brand out there. Some are customers, some are not. And then we do the segmentation. We look at our ICP. We first do the initial cut of, okay, just by looking at the ICP, what is our universe? And then from there, we actually then work on the playbook to say, let's look at some of our systems. You know, let's look at some of our intent data. We actually have a dashboard in Salesforce that includes the funnel of intent. So we can basically see who's top of funnel and who's mid to bottom. And that's how we're able to pick to say, okay, this is the bottom funnel or mid to bottom funnel that really they're in market. They're looking, they're out there looking. And they need support. So that's one of the ways that we take this big pot. We then start cutting it down to see who's actually in that mid to bottom funnel. And then we actually do research. We look at online, we follow these companies, we subscribe to all of their information. We also go through and we are at industry events. We even speak at industry events as well. And that's a big thing is that face to face really can move the needle. And understanding some of the items that, you know, they're trying to solve. So that's a good piece.
I love just the intentionality around data segmentation. And just, I was talking with somebody earlier today, just around their SDR teams are just really struggling to figure out how to prioritize from an outbound perspective. And like, yeah, that's how awesome relation. We just had this great dashboard. Right. There's like this one place, the SDR woke up every day. They looked at the dashboard. They knew exactly who to go after. And they had great insights on why. It sounds like you guys have done a really good job of creating that kind of environment within your tech stack.
For sure. And I'm glad you mentioned SDR because they are a huge partner as well. Our current dashboards is segmented by, of course, each rep. So each rep has their own unique dashboard that's specific to their fine accounts. We also have a marketing dashboard as well, just as an entire universe. We see the roll up. But what's great is the SDR team is involved in the process as well. And so they are able to also see what customers are more on the, I would say, top of funnel, where they can help move the needle. And where the reps really focus on is folks that are in market that's actively looking for solutions based off keyword triggers that we have out in the market to basically then say, this is the group that we really should focus on. Let's start creating our account plays. And let's also make sure that we have enough information and enough resources and content and ABM plays to start engaging them.
So speaking on starting to develop these playbooks and actually going out and engaging, what's the channel mix that you ended up landing on and how do you determine these are the right channels to engage these accounts?
Of course, events are a big thing, just getting the pulse and just being out in the market. We have a lot of content. So what we're good at is because we've had about 20 years of experience, like really working with these iconic brands, and these brands initially came in small and they've grown. They've grown substantially, huge growth rates. And so we've actually taken that best practice into how we produce content. Like we are very refined in understanding what is the issue. Like how are they going to progress from an emerging brand all the way up to this global brand that everyone knows? Because of that, we have a very specific kind of framework on what are the key items that keeps them up at night and what are some of their challenges? What are they doing out in the market right now? And how are they consuming information as well? So we have to make sure that we are where our prospects and customers are at. You know, where are they consuming information? And sometimes a lot of that is feet on the street, you know, sales reps having good relationship, account managers having good relationships, because they feed that information into marketing. And that's intel that we can use. AI is also our friend. A lot of times AI can provide a lot of that information. So that's another kind of outlet that we use, a tactic that we use. But overall, as long as you understand the value that you bring and understand how it relates to the customer, creating the content is easy. It's easy. And now we then slice and dice it into, you have white papers, eBooks. We slice it into shorter form content as well. And one tool that actually is phenomenal is PathFactory. I'm not sure if you've heard of them. We love, because at the end of the day, we don't want to bombard. We don't want to bother anyone. We don't want to be sending out too many emails and annoying. Even though we think the information is valuable, we want to be respectful of people's time. And so with PathFactory, we basically can curate our content that's specific to whatever pain point we're trying to solve and allow the prospect or customer to be able to then consume the information at their time, but it actually shortens the engagement. Instead of 6 months of one email every couple of weeks, now we're putting all the information to one experience that they can then consume at their own rate. And a lot of times they consume it faster, which is great. A
couple of things I want to call out. Just, I love the feedback loop between marketing, sales, and CS. It sounds like, again, you guys are actually like putting boots on the ground in which you're engaging your target accounts. And it's not like your salespeople are saying like, hey, here's what we're hearing. Can we do more in these specific spaces? That might be events, that might be some digital channels, but really great feedback loops there to ensure that you guys are aligned. And I still think many marketers undervalue anecdata. What are we hearing anecdotally that are early indicators of where the market is headed? So I love that call out. And then, yeah, big fan of PathFactory. We're actually talking next week about doing a partnership. Okay. I've had their VP of marketing on the show. I think it's episode 130 something. So anyway, so go check out the episode with Pete from PathFactory. So anyway, I'm always curious as you then think through how you progress the accounts. It sounds like you guys are using, probably word like self-progression. So like they kind of move at their own pace. I am curious, are there ways in which you guys have found these are early ways that we can engage in an account that doesn't know we exist, so we can get them engaged in those PathFactory type experiences?
Yeah, part of it is once you've identified which brands you want to start engaging, we first curate personalized PathFactory pages as well. And so the pages are very specific to that brand. It's personalized. It's, hey, Mr. COO, Mr. and Mrs. COO, we understand X, Y, and Z, and we understand your challenge. Because a lot of times, you know, they know what keeps them up at night, but they don't necessarily know how sometimes it ties in. And our goal is to say, hey, we understand that it's hard. We understand that you want to expand and grow your brand. So what we do is we make sure that we curate personalized pages for them. So it's not just random messaging that doesn't make sense. And then also you have to understand that it's multiple stakeholders within an organization. And so if we're trying to reach out to a COO, great, but someone on their team might be the stakeholder that actually can push up the sense of urgency and push up your content. And so a big mistake that marketers have, I also see, because I've made this mistake as well, and you have to think about everyone in the organization who has not just buying authority and purchasing authority, but actual influence. Sometimes it is the day-to-day practitioners that can help bring to light your content or your marketing programs to the actual decision maker. So I think it's a big thing. It's like really know your audience and be thoughtful at what you're sharing and really personalized as well. And you're good at personalization because again, you're following these companies and you actually want to learn more about and their success is your success. So I think that is a big thing that helps push an opportunity.
I officially love the call out around not going directly to the top. For anyone that's been a long time listener, I shared the story of my first ABM program where I targeted 700 Inc. 5,000 CEOs. We got zero opportunities. And if anything, I did more damage to the brand because I went cold outbound to the busiest person at a rapidly growing company. And then what I've found is that typically once you're on the CEO's blacklist, you're done. Like, they have a new CEO, which is now you're done with that company. Yeah. So I found that going after end users, it takes longer for sure. Yeah. There's a high likelihood of success because you end up building affinity at the bottom and it makes its way up. And then again, talking with somebody, I had a conversation for an hour with an SDR leader earlier today. So this is super on top of mind. It's just like when you go after the end user, sometimes they'll like word vomit all the problems because they're less, we're like PR trained than like executives. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, how did you measure success? Because especially in the franchise space, it's a hard space to sell into because you've got so many different decision committees across just the like same brand, but like multiple ownership groups within the same brand. So I'm curious, how did you guys start to measure that success early on?
I'm a facts over feelings. That's my motto, especially with marketing, because a lot of times marketing will run programs. Oh, it was a great event. High five. We did actually create good opportunities for the sales team. And so we're very metrics driven. And I've always pushed that to my team as well. We have goals, like we have targets. And I think the misconception is marketing just creates pretty things that we, you know, launch out in the market. We are the revenue partner. We have to help grow the company as well. And so we have very clear metrics on, obviously, like any high growth company, tech company, it's where do we want to go, grow? What is the growth rate that we're trying to achieve? How can we grow marketing from X percent to X percent the next year? And so we have those, I would say, baseline targets that we actually, I think we refresh our Salesforce dashboard every 5 minutes. Like we are so married to the data and it's easy to figure out when you're falling behind on your programs because you're in the data day to day. So a lot of times it's pipeline build. There is, of course, the traditional outbound versus inbound kind of aspect in regards to pipeline build. But when you think about like account-based marketing, account-based experience, it's not as clear cut because it's a sales and marketing effort. And so we go do away with this whole inbound, outbound aspect. Instead, it is, we call like that program account-based experiences because when you put marketing to it, sometimes sales are like, it's all about marketing when in actuality, it's a partnership. So we do have very clear targets on pipeline build based on our programs, but you also have to do the math. Like what is your audience reach? What is your conversion? Your actual, you may be actually falling behind, like you're falling short, just top of funnel. So I think having your end goal of what is your pipeline build that you really need to build and then work, do the math backwards to say, do I even have enough reach to get to that number, even if my conversion rate fell? So I think there's a big portion of that calculation that you just have to report on and you have to manage it and you have to create visibility. Every day, my team sends out an email to the sales team to actually show where, how our programs are trending. It's so transparent. There's never any issues with not enough communications because we want the sales team to know where we're standing because it's our efforts. It's both of our efforts.
I love that. And it's one of the things that we used to do a lot more of with our clients is that conversion modeling of like, so this is a target account list and this is how we expect these things to shake out. So these are the leading indicators that lead to the lagging indicators. I am curious, like, what are you actually reporting out on to sales? Because sometimes sales is great. Can I call them now? So I'm just curious, how do you report with transparency on exactly where the accounts stand while also then still allowing those accounts for like the time to bake, to be ready for sales to do outbound?
Yeah. So especially with our dashboard or our intent data dashboard, or we actually call it our account-based experience dashboard because intent is part of it. So in our dashboard, we actually have a visual funnel that shows how many are in top stage, top funnel, all the way mid to bottom. And we have really exact rules of engagement to say sales should not touch anything that's super cold because look, they're not in market. They haven't shown it a trigger. We just know that they are potential targets and potentially can benefit from our solutions. But at the same time, they've never engaged with us. Don't go there yet. And that's really where marketing comes in. And we say, let's work to nurture them, to warm them up and see if they are consuming the information. So really that's where marketing focuses on. Then there's the next tier where SDRs will focus. Again, they're not warm, but basically that's the target that SDRs know, you know, that's really kind of where I come in. And then when it comes down to more the mid to bottom funnel, that's really where sales comes in because now we're not providing them super cold, random contacts. We're actually providing them contacts that have shown some type of intent, some type of trigger that says they're in market. So that's a big piece there.
Did you guys do any kind of a formal SLA between marketing, SDR, and sales to get those strict rules of engagement in place where everyone's like, all right, we feel good about this?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It's in our playbook. I'm a big believer that you have to have clear rules of engagement because at the end of the day, you don't want to have a bad a customer experience. And you want to be thoughtful in that sense. And so we have very specific rules of engagement so that we're not over communicating and we don't have marketing doing one outreach, SDRs doing another play, then you have sales. That's really annoying. So we ensure that we have clear rules of engagement to prevent that from happening and so that we don't stifle any of the communications and ruin any experiences that our customers or potential customers may have with us.
And people just don't think about like negative word of mouth that can happen with outbound program. So I love the clarity on the SLA of just this is how we engage accounts in a way that is helpful and informative to the account and built super smart.
Exactly. Exactly. And that really ties to the sales, marketing, SDR alignment as well. That's a big thing. Actually, when I first started, I would say my marketing journey, I actually worked for a company where my interview was a ride along with sales, meaning I had to cold call with them. It was a telecom company. We were selling hosted VoIP. And I actually had to go with a sales rep and go door to door. And here I am in marketing, never having to do that ever. And we got kicked out a couple offices. I think a police got called on us once. At the end of that, I really had to appreciate what sales does. And I always tell my team, you got to respect the hustle. We have to be partners. We don't have to be best friends, but we have to be able to respect what they do and vice versa. They have to respect what marketing does. And that's what really creates a good partnership is you want sales and marketing, because I think when you have that, then everyone wants to outperform and they want to show that they're on top. And so that's a big piece, a really key piece in the ABM program is to make sure that you have strong alignment with marketing, sales, SDR, AM, CSMs, anyone who touches a customer. You have to be aligned and you have to have a very synced kind of outreach play out to our customers. Otherwise, again, you ruin the customer experience and we never want to do that.
What would you say? Because clearly this program has been successful. Like you, again, we're breezing through some of it, but you were brought in to stand this up and help align all of these teams. And it sounds like this is going incredibly well. So I'm curious, as you look back on how we got to today, what were some of the key things that you were able to help roll out and implement that allowed this kind of alignment across the organization?
Yeah. So I think one is creating a stellar marketing team. Shout out to DM, Kelsey, Rajan, Kuldeep. That's my marketing team. Really making sure that you have the right hires in place that, again, understands that hustle and is fanatic at customer experience and just making sure that like we are presented in a positive light out there and that folks see the value in what we do. So I think that's a big thing. Like I really have to stand a world-class marketing team. So that's the first thing. And then from there, it was then having a plan. Sometimes marketing bring in their stakeholders. And so I always tell my team, go and do those ride-alongs. You may not be going up and down office buildings and knocking on doors, but you should still sit in on some of the calls, listen to how they're pitching, internalize that, understand like some of the challenges that they're facing when they are trying to be marketing, messaging, et cetera. So having that cohesiveness across the teams is big. Having visibility is also the next thing is you can't inspect what you don't provide. So if you're not providing intel on how your programs are running, then we don't know if it's working and we don't know what to change and we don't know how to pivot. So I think having very clear reporting is a big plus and it is necessary. Also having face-to-face communications. In the world that we're all online, we do come into the office and we have folks that are remote, but we also schedule times for sales and marketing to all have, let's say, a week of just being in the office, connecting, training, meeting, et cetera. And then also outside that, having constant communication. So we have a bi-weekly sales and marketing sync. We're in all their sales meetings, large sales kickoff meetings, and we're not on our own island, like I mentioned. We're in their Teams chats, so we know what's going on. And we have a pulse into what they are facing and any challenges that they have. So I think that's a big thing is those are some of the recipes to success. And a lot of it starts with people and having that drive to be successful and ensuring that the company is successful. And so that's, again, a big thing.
I'm curious if there's anything that you would go back and do a little bit differently now, knowing what you know, what would you have done a little bit different?
So sometimes I would say perfection stifles progress. And sometimes you don't want to, because of past relationships with sales, other organizations, and just the whole sales marketing thing, you want to create this perfect plan that sales is going to say, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. This is the best thing ever. And so you keep iterating on it, keep iterating, and you never actually launch it. So sometimes, again, sales is your part. They're not expecting it, whatever you roll, to be perfect, but they do appreciate being able to look at it and provide feedback and also working on it together. I tell my team, sometimes you just got to roll it out at 70%. Consider it done 70% and use that 30% to then have the discussions, have the discovery calls with your actual sales reps and say, okay, how can we make this better? What doesn't make sense? Because at the end of the day, they have to go out there sometimes. And a lot of times they're out there having those conversations. We're not. And you have to have that strong partnership and not be scared to launch it if you don't think it's perfect. If anything, the goal is to create a conversation on how to get it to the finish line.
I think about this a lot of, if we put something in market, the market will tell us how good or bad it was. Like if crickets, got it, bad, do it again. good, right, let's keep going and make it better. So yeah, I couldn't agree more. At a certain point, there's only so much refinement that you can do and then you put something out and see how people respond and then iterate from there. So I love that call out.
And sometimes you just have to beta test, like beta test maybe to a small segment and actually get some, have some friendlies in your customer base, you know, who's willing to test out and be kind of that beta test customer that you present to and get their feedback. And a lot of times our customers, they love giving us feedback. And we want to make sure that we understand because that's who we're targeting. And we want to make sure that they see value in what we're doing. And so a lot of times we do tests with our customers and say, hey, what do you think of this? Would this catch your attention, et cetera? So I think that's another big thing is the customer piece, is having a good relationship with your customers.
Last quick question would just be, if someone's starting out with their ABM program for the very first time, what is one piece of advice that you would give them that you're like, I wish I'd known when I got started?
You don't need fancy tools to start. I think a lot of times marketers, we get a little bit intimidated saying, oh, ABM, well, I need to have X, Y, and Z, and I have to have this. Again, 70-30 rule for me. That's my own concept. But again, like you don't have to have big tools in order to create and start your ABM program. It's all about refining it. Start it, start getting some results and seeing if it's good or not. Double down on what works and maybe scrap some of the things that aren't working. And it's constant refinement. I feel like doing this for many years, I'm always learning something new. Again, it's never going to be perfect in the beginning, but roll it out, test it out, get some feedback, and then constantly refine. And also, you're never going to have a perfect ABM program. It's always going to change. And you're always going to add something new and something different, depending on the market and the responses. And so I think that's a big thing for anyone starting out is don't be intimidated. Just do it, try it, and you can refine it. You don't need big tools. Start. It's a big thing.
We got to run scrappy ABM. I don't think I could agree with anything more than just get started on any big tools. Yeah. Marketing automation is CRM. You're probably good to go. It's like, let's just roll with it.
Let's roll with it.
This has been great. Thanks so much for joining me today. If you want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
Yeah. So check me out on LinkedIn, Lorena Magali Garcia. And also, if you want to learn more about FranConnect, we are at franconnect.com.
Well, again, Lorena, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we will see you in the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.